folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchman Studio with another Watchman video broadcast. The Bible truth on the rapture. We're going to call this part the last trump, and we're probably going to be in two parts, maybe three, on this as we explore this idea of the last trump. And we get that from 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. We're going to start out with 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, those are the two main texts concerning the rapture, the translation, being caught up, the end of the Gentile age, the beginning of God's restoration of Israel, and all the things that we look at in the Bible pertain to those two subjects. Let's start out 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And again, I know that I'm going to say some things today that probably some people would disagree with. And I think as mature Christians, that we handle that disagreement with grace, understanding that it's wrong. Remember, we're parts of the body. We're members of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's teaching us this. It's wrong for the hand to say to my kneecap, hey, kneecap, you have to be a hand like me. God said so. The kneecap is just the kneecap. Okay, it does what the kneecap needs to do. The hand does what the hand needs to do. Both of them created by the same God. Both of them led by the same head, but both of them do two entirely different things. They were designed by the same DNA, which is the King James Bible, all right? A lot of King James people read this Bible just like I do, just like you do, and they see things differently. God wants them different for some reason, all right? God uses each one of us in a different way, and we don't all have to agree on every little stitch and every little molecule of the body. We aren't going to agree because we all see through the same glass very darkly. And we're supposed to take this idea of the translation and comfort one another with these words. After all, God's going to raise our dead loved ones up on that day. They're going to get the new body. We're going to be changed if we are alive and remain on that day in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed. We're all going to be in heaven together. That part I am looking forward to. All right? 1 Corinthians 15, 51. We noted in 1 Thessalonians 4, he mentioned the trump of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, both of these verses mention the translation, us being caught up, the dead in Christ rising first, dead in Christ getting their new bodies, us getting our new bodies, and both of them mention a trumpet sound, or the sound of a trump. Paul specifically mentions here in 1 Corinthians 15, he says the last trump. Now, I think that's significant because, but for that statement, I probably would not be led to believe what it is that I believe and what it is that I see in the Scriptures. Had Paul not said anything about the last trump, had he just said a trumpet, then I would probably say, well, you know, it could be, Revelation 4. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. What is that trumpet? What is the sound of the trumpet? I think Revelation chapter 1 tells us that. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is John's testimony. and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, into Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Obviously. I mean, even though it doesn't say, I am, by the way, I am Jesus Christ. Okay, in case you didn't know that. We know the Alpha and Omega. We know who the first and last is. Okay, so we know that. So we know that this voice that sounds like a trumpet belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, this particular voice is what John heard in Revelation chapter 4. Let's read it. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one, I like that, one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, there are those who would say that the trumpet or the trump that Paul references in 1 Corinthians 15, they would say that it is the voice sounding like a trumpet in Revelation 4. And, I mean, I get it. I see where you're coming from on this. I mean, after all, it says, behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Okay, and because that's Christ's voice, and he calls John up into heaven. And the idea of the translation is that you and I are going to be called up into heaven. And so some would look at that and say, that obviously is the depiction of the rapture. And then, of course, what follows that is that everything that happens after Revelation chapter 4 must be after the rapture. Okay? So, I mean, I get that. I really do. And if you look at it that way, then so be it. Because I can't understand where you come from. And I'm not just patronizing you. Okay? I'm not trying to condescend to you. I'm just saying I get where you're coming from. But here are some things that I don't agree with, and here are reasons why I don't agree that Revelation chapter 4 is the rapture. Number one, there's no mention of meeting the Lord in the air, no mention of the clouds of his coming, etc. Because 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, especially tells us that we're meeting, that the Lord is descending from heaven, and that we are rising up to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In Revelation 4, the voice that John hears is already in heaven, and when John ascends up into heaven, that's where he meets the Lord. Because that's where he is. He's in heaven in Revelation 4. But 1 Thessalonians 4 clearly tells us that the Lord descends from heaven and he's in the air, and then we rise up. It's almost like we're like meeting each other halfway here. He calls us up. He descends down. We meet each other here. And then so shall we. Wherever the Lord is after that, that's where we're going to be. No mention of a gathering of the elect here in Revelation 4. It's just John is all it is. And certainly, if you read the rest of the book of Revelation, you clearly see that Revelation 4 is not the last time that a trumpet is mentioned. It's, to me, it's not the last trump. There is a, in my opinion, a better candidate for what Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15 as the last trump, the very last, the end. This is it. No more trumpets after this one. There's a better candidate for that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 8. Let's see the beginning of the last trump. Revelation 8, 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, we put out a video several years ago called the King James Code series, the number 7. And I go through all the scriptures and I talk about the meaning of the number 7. If you want just a good, easy, clear to read meaning of the number 7, you go to Genesis chapter 2, because it talks, it's the first time it really mentions the number 7. And it says in Genesis chapter 2 verse 1, and on the seventh day God ended his work. 7 means God's done, he ended it, which he had made, and he rested. So 7 is a number for rest. He rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day. 7 days, the number 7 is a number for blessing. Blessing is always a salvation word. And sanctified it. The number 7 is a holy number. It means sanctification. There are 7 spirits, and we are sanctified by the Spirit. Because that in that he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the number 7 has these meanings of completion, ending, done. God finishes the work in 6 days and he rests on the seventh day. So the 7 is a number for rest. There's agreement amongst all of us, rapture people, that no matter where the rapture is, at the end of all this stuff, that there's going to be 1,000 years of rest on this earth where Christ is going to reign. We're going to reign with him. And this earth is going to get its Sabbaths. Okay? The earth is going to rest for 1,000 years. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. It's the number for sanctification. It's the number for salvation. All right? The blood being sprinkled 7 times. The Ark of the Covenant. And that showed the blood atonement of Christ. And certainly the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when we have 7 trumpets, that 7th trumpet is the end, the final. No more trumpets after that. I really believe that the very last trump, Paul mentions 1 Corinthians 15, really should be the 7th trumpet when it sounds. So, the first place that we're going to go to in the Bible to see this 7th trump sound is in Revelation chapter 10. Now, I am currently, today is Thursday, I'm currently doing, I started it yesterday, we'll finish it today if the Lord tarries his coming and nothing else happens between now and 12 p.m. Central. PastorMikeOnline.com. Thought I'd throw that in there. Anyway, I'm dealing with who this mighty angel is in Revelation 10. Whether you agree with what I'm saying on that or not, we still have this issue of this mighty angel coming down from heaven, and there is a declaration of the 7th trumpet. And when he shall begin to sound, there's something that's going to be finished on that day. Revelation chapter 10, verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein. By the way, there's 6 things here. You have heaven, and the things that are there, earth, the things that are there, sea, the things that are there, 6 things. That there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, from this definition of the number 7 from Genesis chapter 2, I can see the completion of something that God is doing at the beginning, or the sounding of the 7th trumpet. And we have here the mentioning of 6 things, followed by the seventh thing. We have the mentioning of the heavens and the things that they're in, earth, the things that are therein, the sea, the things that are therein. Six things here. Then you have the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And at that seventh trumpet, the mystery of God should be not starting, not in the middle of, but the mystery of God should be finished. And to me, with the idea of what the number seven is, that makes all the sense in the world, that the mystery of God should be finished at something whose number is number seven. Now, God could have made the mystery of God be finished at the end of the opening of the seventh seal. He could have put it at the end or at the pouring out of the seventh vial. He could have done that, but he didn't. He placed it right here at the sounding of the last trump, which is the seventh trump. He said the mystery of God should be finished. Now, on the next Watchman broadcast, we're going to deal with what this mystery is. And we're going to see from the Bible how all of these things that are associated with the mystery that the Bible mentions, Paul, I think, mostly mentions the word mystery. I like this. The word mystery in the King James Bible, 22 times exactly. You know what the number 22 is? It's a number for revelation. Now, you would think that those two are opposites. Mystery is like something you can't figure out. It's a secret. Revelation is something to where you go, oh, I get it. Okay, it's been revealed to you, right? Well, every time you see the word mystery in the King James Bible, it's revealed. Things like, I would not you to be ignorant of this mystery, how that blindness in part is happening unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. He just told you part of the mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay? Jesus said, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Okay? So every time, even Mystery Babylon, the angel tells John, hey, I'll show you the mystery of the beast and the woman, or the woman and the beast that carrieth her. So every time the mystery is revealed. And what we're going to do next week is we're going to look at that mystery in relation to the sounding of the seventh trump. And I think that we'll see the things that are going to happen when that seventh and last trump is sounded. Here's what I want to deal with this week, though. The phrase, there should be time no longer. Now, I remember somewhere back in the archives of my mind, somewhere on the archives of the internet, reading an article where somebody said that right there, since it says time no longer, that means time, there's not going to be time ever, anything after that. God ends time and we're going to enter into eternity right here. Don't think that that's what it means. I think it's a Bible way of saying, okay, time's up. We're done here. We're out of time. It's, you know, like a guy on a TV show. Hey, looks like we're out of time here. We'll see you all next week. All right. That there should be time no longer. Now, we know that it can't mean that there's not going to be the continuation of the measurement of time after this point, because we still have seven vials of wrath to pour out, and we still have 1,000 years on the earth, and those years are going to be measured out in minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years. So we know that it's not referencing the absolute completion of the measurement of time. So what does it mean? Well, simply put, it means that we've just ended a period of time where God is done doing all of this, and now God is going to do this here. Let me show you what I mean. As always, we're going to look at the scriptures to see this concept, that there should be time no longer. In other words, God is saying, time's up, we're out of time, this is it right here, this is where I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to start doing this. The first thing I thought of was the book of Ecclesiastes. That Solomon, man, was he wise. Number one, he's teaching in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that time is circular, like a river. Rivers equal time. When you start reading the Bible and you see rivers and understand that they equal the flow and the passage of time, it's pretty cool. He tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the seas are not full. And what he's describing scientifically is the water cycle. Solomon figured that out by the wisdom of God before anybody else ever did. Scientists who can measure things now see the rivers running into the ocean. They measure the humidity in the air in the Gulf of Mexico because we're next to the Mississippi River. So all of our rivers run into the Mississippi. The Mississippi runs into the Gulf of Mexico. And here, Missouri weather, for the most part, is determined by Gulf of Mexico. Because all the rivers run into the Mississippi. Mississippi runs into the Gulf of Mexico. The heat and the wind, the heat of the sun and the wind, pick that moisture up out of the sea, carry it up into the upper atmosphere. It condenses as clouds, comes back up north over the state of Missouri, drops as rain, which runs down into the rivers, goes into the Mississippi, goes right back into the... And it happens exactly the way Solomon said. He figured that out before anybody else did. This man had wisdom. But he also understood that everything to this earth has a time attached to it. Look at what he said, Ecclesiastes 3, 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, I'm not going to read all of what Ecclesiastes, or what Solomon said here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You can just simply listen to the song. To everything turned... Okay, anyway. Or you can read it from the King James Bible. Probably better for you. But let's pick it up in verse 17. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And so I think that with what Solomon is saying here, to everything there is a season, to everything there is a time, that was all created by God. You know, even the equinoxes, the winter and summer solstice, and we know all the pagans and all the Satan worshipers, they all love the equinoxes and the solstices, and they all have their pagan festivals. But let me tell you something. The devil did not create the solstices. The devil did not create the motion of the stars and the planets and the sun and the earth. And he did not plan and initiate all that. God did. God is the one who is in charge of all of time. And there is something about blowing that seventh trumpet where God said that the mystery of everything right here at this point is going to be finished. The mystery is over. And everything that I said concerning a mystery is going to take place right here, right now. In other words, time no longer means we're done with this part. Now we're going to move on to this part. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Imagine if there was a national alert coming out all over the radio and the TV stations and your phone went off and it's the government saying that nuclear missiles from some country, North Korea or whatever, are headed to the United States, they're going to hit such and such cities, they will be here in 1 hour and 15 minutes. A lot of people are going to be in a state of panic. I would hope that God would give me the ability to run out into the streets and preach to as many people as possible exactly what was said here. Repent. The time is fulfilled. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Because God put me on this earth to preach, not run away. I want to preach when things get bad. I want to promote the gospel to people at a time when they are going to need the gospel in about an hour and 15 minutes. They're going to need that gospel. That's what I have prayed to God to let me do something like that. I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. I'll let God fill in the details. But I've prayed to God, God, maybe if things get really bad in this world, you would give me the opportunity to preach the gospel and try to lead just one more soul to go with us on that ride into glory. I would like that, because certainly, as it was in Jesus' day, certainly now, the time is at hand. The time is fulfilled. God is done with this. Now He's going to do this. And we see that. You can see that clearly. God was done from this point forward. God's done with Israel. Now He's going to turn to the Gentiles, because Israel, here's their Messiah that they prophesied about, and they rejected Him. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed, there's that word time, appointed of the Father. Let me stop right here. What he's saying is that, think of this in the context of time no longer. You're a child, and your dad is like a multi-billionaire owner of this big corporation, and you're going to take over one of these days, but until you take over the company, your dad is making you work in the shipyard, and he's making you work in the office as a mail clerk. He's making you work as a middle manager under a boss, and your dad told the boss, treat him like any other goofy kid. If he messes up, lay into him. Okay, I'm not going to fire you for this. Give it to him like you would give anybody else. Why is he doing that? Because he wants that son, when he takes over that head position, he wants his son to know what it's like to live the life of those other people. Okay, that's wise. That's smart. Okay. So anyway, at some point, God is going to raise us up to be lords over his inheritance. But right now, we are under tutors and governors. We're living the life until we get there. But then time is going to be over with. God's going to say, it's no more time. Now I'm going to make you to be a king and a lord over my inheritance. So verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you know what I think of when I think of fullness of time? I think of my wife. She went into labor with our second child. We were just sitting in the living room, minding our business, and all of a sudden my wife said, it's time! And we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan, and we set that plan in motion, and I got her to the hospital, and she had that baby at that hospital. Thank God for that. But when she said it was time, I took her seriously. Okay? Anything that we had been, I didn't wait for the TV show we were watching to be done. I didn't say, well, honey, hold on, I'm done with the show. I didn't do that. When she said it was time, it was time. Okay? And that's how I see the Lord's coming. When God says it's time, it's time. When the floods of many waters issue forth, buddy, it's time. Okay? Ladies understand that. Guys are going, I don't know what that means. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, here it is, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now look at verse 10. We're going to join these two things together. The mystery should be finished and time no longer. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, this is a future event, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, let me stop right here. We have the gathering. Remember what I said? That when the trumpet sounds in Revelation 4, when John hears that voice as of a trumpet saying, come up hither, it's just John. There's no mention of John and everybody else being gathered together to be caught up to meet the Lord in there. There's no mention of that there. Maybe I'm making too much of something, but I just don't see it there. So I can't say that that's the last trump, all right? But clearly here, Paul is connecting the mystery of his will with the fullness of time in which he's going to gather everybody together. In other words, the time is going to be full right here. The woman is ready to give birth now. And he's going to gather everybody together at that time. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who hath worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It's the mystery of God, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now it's interesting to me that he mentions that we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise until the redemption of the purchased possession. It's interesting to me because before the seventh trumpet sounds, before any of the trumpets sounds, there's an unsealing of a book. Jesus takes the book out of the right hand of the Father, and everything that was sealed up until that time now is unsealed. Okay? I see clearly that the unsealing of the book, unsealing of things that are sealed, takes place before the day of redemption and the fullness of times, and God saying time no longer, and now the mystery of God is going to be finished at the beginning of the sounding of the seventh trump, the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. That's the seventh trump. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Stop right here. What day did he just reference? He didn't say, for the day of the blank shall not come. He mentioned that day. That day is a reference to, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together. This is what we just read. Gathering together unto him, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. The day of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed, here it is, in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I mean, we're looking at things that relate to time here. In verse 6, you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until, it's a time word, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. And so time is written into this whole thing here in 2 Thessalonians 2. And I think because he connected it with the mystery of iniquity. The mystery is going to be revealed. The mystery is going to be finished at this particular time, when there should be time no longer. Not a complete end to the measurement of time, but things have rolled up to this particular point right here, and God's going to say, we're out of time. Time is up. Time is over. Put your pencils down, turn your papers over, and hand them in. Okay? That's what I think is going to... I think all of these things are relevant and pertinent to that particular time when the seventh trumpet shall begin to sound. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's continue that thought. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is, the Bible talks about when his glory shall be revealed, which is the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord shall be revealed. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. The trump of God, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We are going to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ when his glory is revealed. And it's going to happen at the fullness of time. Time no longer. The mystery of God is going to be finished. Christ is going to be revealed from heaven within all of his glory. And we are going to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ on that day. You see, even if we agree or disagree as to what time that happens, we're going to receive, we're going to receive the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. It'll be worth it. Whatever we have to endure, whatever we have to go through, it'll be worth it on that day. I'll wait for it. 1 Peter chapter 1, here we go. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, here we go, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, here it is, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now look at these verses here. We are kept, this is what I believe, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, and that salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. And he says in verse 7 that that is at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I mean, certainly, I believe that right now we are saved. We are designated as being saved right now. We are designated as being the sons of God right now. But the manifestation of us as sons of God has not taken place yet. We don't have the sons of God body right now, all right? We have this body, this nasty, ugly body. One of these days, the manifestation of the sons of God is going to be made manifest. Our salvation is going to be revealed in the last time at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I mean, we're saved. We've been given the title of saved. But our true and final salvation has not occurred yet. At the end of our life or at the end of the time when Christ appears, then our... And think about it. A lot of people claim to be saved right now, don't they? Are they really? Well, we don't know. See, it's number one, it's not our place to go around judging everybody, you know, like some people think it is their job. It's not our job to be judging everybody. Well, you're saved, you're not saved. But I promise you, at the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, when he catches his people away, it's going to be known who's saved and who isn't saved. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Stop right here. This is the second time in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, that he mentioned a trial along with fire. The trial of your faith in chapter 1, the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire. Then he mentioned it here in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Verse 13, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. Now look at verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, he mentions time, ready to be revealed at the last time, and the trial of your faith being tried with fire at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, same thing. The fiery trial which is to try you, when his glory shall be revealed, the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Both passages mention a fiery trial, the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, and our glory with him. And both of them mention a fulfillment of time. That is exactly what you have with the trumpets, something I found just lately, something I never really considered before. Just lately, I found that all six trumpets leading up to the seventh trumpet have something to do with fire. Specifically, let me show you that. I call this seven fiery trumpets. Let's look at what the Bible says. This starts in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation 8, Revelation 9, Revelation 10, and 11 all deal with the trumpets. Revelation 8 and 9 deal with the blowing of the first six trumpets. Let's see what the Bible says about them. Revelation 8 verse 5. The angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now notice that even before the trumpet sound, there's something that signals that these trumpets are going to sound. And what signals that is an angel, which was probably of one of the priestly order of Melchizedek. He is like a priestly angel. He is in attendance in the temple of heaven. And he goes to he took the censer and he goes to the altar and he fills it with fire from the altar, heavenly fire. And then he casts it down to the earth. Then the seven angels, as soon as they see that, the seven angels stand forth and they begin to sound their trumpets, one after another. The first angel sounding, hail mingled with fire. Now that's happened before in the Bible. One of the plagues, hail and fire fell down upon Egypt. What happened to God's people during that time? They were kept safe in the land of Goshen while that was going on. Second trumpet, Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Again, fire with the seventh trumpet. And the sea becomes blood. Has that ever happened before? Let's move on. Third trumpet. Third trumpet sounds. There's a fiery trial. Revelation chapter 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning, as it were, a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the waters and upon the fountains of the waters. And you know what happened to them? They turned to blood. That's happened before. Moses stretched forth his rod into the waters. The waters of Egypt became blood. The Nile River flowed with blood. All the pitchers of water, all of the tanks, all of the fountains, all of the cisterns, they all turned to blood except God's people in the land of Goshen. Didn't happen to them. Fourth trumpet. Now, it doesn't mention fire specifically, but it mentions something that we know is on fire. Revelation 8:12, and the fourth angel sounded. The third part of the sun was smitten. The sun's on fire. The third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So far, first trumpet, fire. Second trumpet, fire. Third trumpet, fire. Fourth trumpet, sun and stars on fire. Fifth trumpet, Revelation 9. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star. Stars. Well, let me stop right here. Even if we were to say that this was a meteorite, meteor coming down, enters the Earth's atmosphere, burning with fire. That's what happens to them. They catch on fire. Okay? Back to this. Fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You know what the pit is? It's hell. Literally, the inhabitants of hell being released out of the pit. Hell's a furnace. And the smoke ascending out of the great furnace of hell and coming out of the smoke are these devils looking like scorpions, looking like locusts, having the face of men, the hair of women. They're androgynous, right? They're transgendered, right? And they come and they invade the earth, literally hell on earth. Fiery time. We're not done. Revelation 9:13, the sixth trumpet. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before the altar, that's where fire is, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. What that means is 200 million. A million is 1,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now, I read Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth like many of you did, all right? And I'm going, oh wow, those were like tanks, right? And like out of their nostrils came fire, which is like, you know, like the missiles, the cannons on the front of these tanks. Yeah, that's it. I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that for a second. I don't think John was describing tanks blowing missiles out their nose. I think John was describing horses that had breastplates of fire, that had the heads of lions, and when they opened their mouth, fire and brimstone and smoke came out of their mouth. I think John was describing exactly what he saw. And I don't think this is a 2 million man army from China. This is an evil devil spirit army released out on planet Earth that have the shapes of horses and the heads of lions. Because that's what a lot of the spirits in the spirit world look like. Go look at Ezekiel chapter 1. They have different body configurations in them. These are devils. These are spirits let loose on planet Earth. And they're spreading fire everywhere. And a third of the men are killed. A third of the men on planet Earth die by reason of this fire. The fiery furnace and the fifth trumpet sounding. The fiery furnace, fifth trumpet sounding, three men enduring a fiery furnace, the fourth with them being the Son of God. I think that these all represent the fiery trial, which is to try the people who are alive and remain at that time prior to the voice of the seventh angel, when time is no longer. That's what I think. 1 John chapter 2. Something else taking place at the fulfillment of time. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And at the end of the last time, there shall be time no longer. and the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And again, next week, we're going to dig into those mysteries to see what it is that's going to be revealed, what is going to be accomplished in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. Those things are going to be accomplished, including, I believe, the revelation of the Antichrist. But he mentioned many Antichrists. There are already many Antichrists in this last time. Jude makes mention of who I believe these Antichrists are. He says they crept in unawares. Let's look at the book of Jude. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. See, if they have not the Spirit, they have the spirit of Antichrist. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear. Looky here. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Remember what Paul said, a falling away takes place first. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's the coming of the Lord. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Brethren, it is the last time. And there are still some people, even though there's many mockers out there, some who watch this video will mock. Can't help it. I love the Word. I love the Lord. And I love people. And I want people to have the same forgiveness of their sins that God has given me and still does. And I would like the chance to pull you out of the fire, even though you mock. Now you might think, well, I'm not on fire now, so I'm not worried about it. But there's coming a time, definitely, there's coming a time when there's going to be fire on this earth, fiery trial. I would like to, at that time, save you from the fire. I would like to, if God allows me to. I would like that opportunity. And that God would keep all of us from falling on that day when the mystery of God is finished, when it's time no longer. Think of it like this. Remember that number 7. God told Noah, get thee and thy family on the ark. For yet seven days, and I will destroy this earth. Noah spent that time getting himself, all the animals on the ark, and he was on the ark, and God shut the door. You know what the shutting of the door represented after 7 days? Time no longer. Because when God shut that door, it began to rain. The floods of great waters came up out of the heart of the earth. Time was up. For all the people of the earth, they were destroyed. I would like for you to not be destroyed when these days come. I would like for you to be saved, born again, and know that no matter when the Lord appears in the sky, you will be with us when he calls us there on that day. I would like for you to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I would like for you to tell Jesus about all your sorry sins and turn to Him with all your heart, confessing your sins, because He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you believe that Jesus is the Lord and rose from the dead and call upon His name, you shall be saved. And if you come to know the Lord because of this video or any video that we've done, send us an email. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. All right? This is Pastor Mike. Next week, Mystery of God. We'll take a look at that in relation to the translation of God's people. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.